Professor Claire Collins, accredited practicing dietitian.
Thanks so much for joining us today at SBS Radio.
Yes, it's a pleasure.
Today we would like to mainly talk about Smart Eating Week, which is coming up from February 12th to the 18th. As we know, there are tens, if not hundreds, of different diets out there for healthier eating, weight loss, or just lifestyle change. And we want to know, what is smart eating and what's the message from this campaign?
Yes, what we're trying to do during this campaign is get people thinking about the food that they eat. We know that in Australia, people eat way too much junk food. About one third of what people eat is classified as being too processed, and it's called discretionary choices, but really that means junk food. So we're trying to get people to think about what they eat, think about who gives them nutrition advice, and if they need more advice on healthy eating, then to look for the services of an accredited practicing dietitian.
So, you know, as I mentioned, there are too many diets out there. They come and go, some of them as trends. How important is it for an individual to alter the diet for themselves? And, you know, as we know, we're all different.
Yes, that's right. Well, one of the things we know is that if your eating habits aren't right, then you end up consuming too many kilojoules. And what that does is it means that you gain weight over time. And then as you gain weight, you increases your risk for things like diabetes, type 2 diabetes, or in women who are having a baby, gestational diabetes. And then once you have type 2 diabetes, that further increases your risk for things like having a heart attack or stroke. And what people don't realise is that poor eating habits and then excess weight gain also actually increase your risk for some cancers, things like breast cancer after menopause, or colon cancer. So one of the challenges, though, is that the health benefits last a lifetime, but it's hard to remember that when you're busy and, you know, you need to get dinner on the table and feed everybody. So we suggest taking an approach where each week you try and perhaps make one of the meals you normally make it a bit healthier, or each week if you normally have a takeaway meal, you know, every Wednesday night or something, thinking about trying to cook a double batch on Tuesday so that dinner is healthier on the Wednesday and you can use leftovers.
Mm. Also, another issue that probably we are all facing is, you know, people with families, kids eating healthier. And we know that juvenile diabetes and, you know, other issues like even childhood obesity is on the rise. So how important is it getting kids into the habit of eating healthier or eating smarter?
It's really, really healthy, and parents are the best role model, and grandparents as well. So making sure parents and grandparents all agree that trying to encourage the children to eat healthy food is important. It might seem like it's a treat, you know, to take them off and buy them fast food or give them lollies and chocolates, but it's doing more harm than good. First up, for kids, it increases their risk of getting holes in their teeth. And that's expensive to get that fixed. And the other key thing is that we know that kids are little copycats. So if they see mum and dad eating vegetables and fruit, then they end up eating more as well. I mean, most of the schools now have healthy eating programs at schools, you know, where you've got to take water and fruit, you know, crunch and sip and programs like
that. Right.
But
yeah.
For kids, what you do as a parent is what they'll end up doing. And it's one of those things where it sounds like you got to be cruel to be kind almost, where you have to keep offering vegetables and fruit, even if they say, no, I'd rather have hot chips. It's really, really helpful to just to continue to offer it, ignore it when they complain essentially about the healthy food, because in time they learn to like what you like. And one thing to reassure parents is that a child who's healthy, they won't starve themselves. So even if they turn their nose up at the, you know, nice healthy meal you've made, then essentially they're not going to starve themselves. If they're really hungry, they'll eat. And if they choose not to have it, well, then they weren't truly hungry.
And it's the beginning of the year, and most people have the New Year's resolution of, you know, eating healthier, getting more exercise done, and just generally being fit. But what is the essential first step for changing your lifestyle, changing your eating habits?
Well, I think the first essential step is actually working out that that's something that you value and that you want to do. And then the next step is working out, well, what's realistic for me to change? And so sometimes, you know, doing a stock take first up and saying, well, how many times a week do we have, you know, takeaway meals? Or how many days a week do we not take our lunch to work or to school or make a healthy lunch if you're staying at home? Do we have healthy drinks? And water and milk are the two healthiest drinks that you can have. And then the next step is making a plan on what you might want to change. And it may be, for example, that the most appropriate thing in your family is to start by making the only choice in drinks, water or milk. And that can be a big one for many families where, you know, lots of soft drinks are consumed every day. Or when you have your meal at night, if you sit down and you think, well, we actually only have vegetables two nights a week, making a plan, well, I'm going to try and make it three or four nights that we're also having vegetables or salad with our evening meal. And to do that, then, you need to write something on your shopping list or on your grocery list, because if you haven't got those products in your fridge or in your pantry, then you can't make healthy meals. And that's the way to start, in small steps. That's the way to make it work with a family. But the other thing we know is that sometimes for people, it is actually a big change or a big issue, and that's when if you go and have an appointment with an accredited practicing dietitian. So if you have type 2 diabetes, for example, there probably is an accredited practicing dietitian already at the community health centre or the diabetes centre or the hospital where you go. But if there's not and your private health insurance covers it, you can actually go and see somebody under your health insurance scheme. If you have a chronic medical condition where diet, changing your diet or eating healthier is part of it, you can have a chat to your GP, because there are managed care plans or enhanced primary care plans where you may be able to see someone on one of the Medicare subsidised visits, and so you only have to pay the small gap. So nutrition is really important. It's a bit like, you know, running a car. If a car doesn't have the right fuel, it doesn't go too far. Well, the human body's just the same. If it doesn't have the right fuel, it doesn't last as long or perform as well, and you don't feel as good. So having a chat to your doctor or at the community health centre at the hospital if you've got a medical condition, how can you find an accredited practicing dietitian who can help you and make something tailored to the advice that you and your family need?
I mean, you don't have to be, you know, ill or have any of these diseases to see an accredited practicing dietitian. Maybe, you know, some people look healthy, look fit, but then they're probably still not eating right or choosing healthier options. So what can people expect from visiting an accredited practicing dietitian?
If you went and saw an accredited practicing dietitian, they'd very likely start off by asking you about your health and whether you have any medical conditions. Mm-hmm. And then they'd interview you about the sorts of foods that you normally eat. They'd look at any, if you came along with a referral from your doctor and it had blood test results, like it might have your cholesterol levels, it might have your blood pressure, it might have your diabetes measures, so glucose and insulin. And then they'd look at your eating habits and then work with you to come up with a plan that would suit your lifestyle factors, you know, whether you've got children, whether you have to be away for work a lot, whether you do shift work, and give you advice tailored to that. So, and they'd also take into consideration, like, you know, whether you have any conditions, say like celiac disease, for example, which means you can't eat certain grains. So then you'd go away with a plan, and based on that, they'd likely suggest you come back in, you know, a few weeks for a checkup, or again, it would depend on the conditions, if it was under a Medicare primary care plan or not. So it's really an opportunity to tailor advice specifically to your needs, and have like you take your car for a checkup or a tune-up. It's like that, going for a nutrition checkup and a nutrition tune-up. People can also access the information on our smart eating section of the website. And if you just Google smart eating, then you'll find that.
Professor Claire Collins, accredited practicing dietitian, thank you so much for your time today and for talking to us about Smart Eating Week, 12th to 18th of February.
Thank you.
SBS.
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 SBS Radio.